The words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the second Sunday after Trinity, I'm calling Love Indeed. It's written by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr., late Metropolitan of the ACC. He first gave this June 13, 1999. Today's gospel is one of Jesus' parables, just as last gospel was. We talked last week about how obvious it seems that the main purpose of the parables is to give us information about God and our relationship to Him, and to impart a story from which it is relatively easy to remember. But what seems obvious turns out not to be so. Jesus says the main point of the parables is to separate those who get it from those who don't get it. It is a very helpful thing to read over the Bible lessons, the epistle and the gospel that we're going to read at the service before you come to church. If you don't immediately understand them, you can pray to make yourself open to how the sermon and the hymns and the Bible class may help you understand them. Well, if we had a Bible class. And so assist you in the essential process of getting it. Today's parable is about a great feast, a big banquet, a major dinner party. Jesus, in fact, tells the parable while he is eating at a big dinner party. The party, you may remember, where all the guests rush into the dining room to try and grab a seat near the host. Jesus delivers a very difficult teaching just before today's parable. He says that if you're going to host a feast, you should not invite your family or your friends. Instead, you should invite the poor, the lame, the halt, and the blind. If you invite your friends and family, you will have the idea in the back of your mind that they will invite you back and even things up. If you invite the others, you will be doing it purely out of the goodness of your heart, because they cannot possibly reciprocate. But Jesus also says, if you do invite such people, God will repay you on Judgment Day. God will reward you, because you will have obeyed the commandment to love your neighbor. Remember that love in the New Testament sense means acting for another person's good, without calculating what you will get out of it. Love is what St. John is talking about again in today's epistle. A foolish fellow sitting near Jesus says, "How happy are the people who will sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God." That was probably just filler to cover up what was really in his heart. If the only way to get into heaven is to be generous to people who cannot be generous back, my wife and I are in big trouble. Surrounded at the party by Pharisees, the pinched, rule-following, holier-than-thou, smarter-than-thou, killjoy types, like me, according to a certain priest, for whom he reserves his greatest disapproval. He tells today's parable for their benefit, even though the likelihood that they are going to get it is quite dim. A man sets out to host a great feast and invited many people to come to it. But when the dinner was ready, the invited guests began to make excuses to explain why they could not attend. When the host heard about all this, he was angry. So he told his servants to go out and invite anyone who was willing to come, including significantly the poor, the lame, the halt, and the blind. When there was still some room available, he told the servants to go out and drag people in, because he was not going to allow the guests who were invited originally to come. So at one level, getting this parable should not be much of a problem. The host is God. The invited guests are his chosen people, the Jews. When the supper is ready, that is to say, when Jesus, our Savior, appears, they reject him and offer all sorts of excuses to explain why they will not accept him. The guests who are invited next and then compelled to come to the banquet are the Gentiles, the great unwashed, most of us, people who are not originally invited to be part of God's chosen people, but who are welcome now. The guests invited originally rejected the invitation because they just didn't get it. Now that is a very satisfying interpretation. It blames the Jews. It makes us Gentiles look good, so we can feel smug at the Jews' expense. But helping us to feel smug is never Jesus' intention. The parable reminds us that now we are chosen, invited people too. We have moved from the lame and blind category to the status of first on the guest list. So if we do not remain faithful to Christ, if we don't make any effort to love our neighbors or repent of our other sins or try to understand things and do things the way God would want, then we run the risk of not getting to the heavenly party. We shall lose out as surely as if we had said no to the invitation in the first place. So what should we do? First, take the commandment to love God and love our neighbors seriously. Try to structure our actions around that standard, which is promoting the welfare of others, not yourself. Pray for guidance. Read your Bible. Receive communion. Ask for help. St. John reminds us that talk is cheap, saying, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." And he reminds us as well that Jesus has set the bar of loving obedience quite high, saying, "Hereby receive we the will of God," because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.